We all have our language pet peeves, the words or phrases we wish we would never hear again. This hour, we'll exorcise some of our language demons and talk about the words we'd like to ban. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, our English language expert Patricia O'Connor is here to help us say goodbye to some of the least loved parts of our language. Every January, Lake Superior State University publishes a list of banished words. We'll start with their list and build our own. What word or phrase would you like to ban in 2016 and why? Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Many of us start the new year with resolutions for ourselves. Others like to start the year with some resolutions for others. This hour, the words or phrases we'd like to see banned from the English language in 2016. Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Very good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And thank you so much for being here today. I want to start with this list of words that Lake Superior State University puts out every year. This was their 41st annual list of banished words, and they take suggestions from people throughout the year.
Right, and you know, I just heard one of the words during Dennis Reese's news broadcast.
Oh, and there's at least one that I use constantly.
Yes,
and,
I know,
and you
I
cannot,
know the one you
yes,
mean.
You cannot ask a
one.
Talk show host to give it up.
I know the one you mean. Yeah, yeah, Lake Superior does this every year. They choose about a dozen words, and these are words that people nominate that they hate and they want to see banned. And so Lake Superior chooses about a dozen and puts them out every year, a different dozen. Now, you'd think after 40 years that the...
We would have run out of words.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But actually, nothing happens to these words, of course. But people like to complain and they like to vent. And so this is a way for them to do that. Now, why make such a list? Well, Lake Superior State University is located in Sault Ste. Marie in northern Michigan. And around this time of year, I think they have to do something to keep their blood moving. So maybe this helps keep them warm. Who knows? Anyway.
Well, and it's a gift to newscasters everywhere because every January 1st, they have something to talk about.
Right. It's a slow news time.
Absolutely. But I love some of the – whenever they put out the list, they always – take some excerpts from some of the nominations that they've gotten. And those are great fun to read through.
Oh, they are, because people are quite annoyed, annoyed enough to send in the words.
Absolutely. And Pat, I get the impression that you kind of take an anthropological view of how we use words and how these phrases become common.
Right.
You I get the impression, maybe wouldn't want to ban any of them.
Well, it would be pointless to want to ban them because you tell people, it's like when you're introducing someone to someone, you say, don't refer to the carrot that he's got sitting on top of his head. So you introduce the person and then you say, hello, Mr. Carrot. Oops. It's because someone says, don't use a word. That's only going to make it more attractive to you. It's only going to sink it more into your consciousness. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, having an index of banned words is just going to make it more attractive to people.
Well, but it is great fun to talk about the ones that drive us crazy.
Oh,
and
sure.
Maybe it'll help us be a little more tolerant when we do hear these words in the coming weeks and months, because I know that we will. And we want to hear about the words and phrases that you'd like to ban this hour as well. So you can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's dig into this list. The first one on the list is one you do hear a lot, and their usage is that they want to ban has gotten much more common.
Yes. This is starting an answer with the word so. And often a conversation in general would start with the word so. Like, so, what have you been doing lately? So, I've been doing a little of this and a little of that. Now, you wouldn't believe how much mail we get at our blog about this one. So much that I have a little standard answer that I send everybody about it who writes to us. This is probably done because people want an easy way to get into a subject or a conversation. And also it gives them a moment to gather their thoughts. It sort of allows them to stall for time. Then it becomes habit forming. You do it often enough. You don't really need to stall for time, but you're used to saying so.
Right. Well, and I find it's difficult to avoid using it at the beginning of a question. It kind of softens a question. Mm-hmm. It just smooths the transition.
Right. It's a conjunction, actually. Or the OED actually calls it an introductory particle.
Oh.
And it's been used this way for hundreds of years, at least back to Shakespeare's day. It's almost as if you were saying, now tell me, or let's see now, what have you been doing lately? It's just an introductory, throat-clearing sort of way to start a sentence. So it's no different than these. For some reason, it seems to be more annoying. A lot of people seem to think it's grammatically incorrect. Well, it's not. It can be an introductory particle. So
maybe
so, we should get over it.
Right. Well, they did have a lot of people nominate that one, and it's the number one word on their list. This second word on the list, though, is the one that I cannot give up. It cannot be banned.
Yeah. Are you talking about presser?
Oh, I was talking about conversation.
Oh, we probably have
the oh, right just order. In a different order, right?
Conversation. Yeah, let's talk about that. As being invited to join the conversation.
Right.
Here on Talk of Iowa.
Which I now, do several times an hour.
Yes. Now, this has never bothered me particularly. It's just a friendly way of saying, tune in, discuss with us, talk with us, you know, join us. It's not very clear what it means. It's just a general sort of welcoming term, an inclusionary.
Right. And it's funny, the nominations for it I thought were interesting because a lot of people were complaining not so much about the word conversation, but mm-hmm. about their complaints were about their feeling that we don't have conversations anymore. Why have a conversation if nobody listens, if everybody shouts?
In fact, on the kind of show that you do, there is a conversation.
Oh, good. So
people
I get to keep
actually,
it.
People can actually call up and speak. So, yeah, I think you can keep it.
Well, you know, for me, one of the words that drives me crazy, and we've talked about this in the past, how people will take a noun and verb it.
Yes.
And one of the words that I cannot stand is when people use dialogue instead of conversation or, you know, let's dialogue about it.
And I'll bet you anything that that's been on a past banned list of Lake Superior State University. Because if they've been doing this for 40 years at say, a dozen words a year, that's a lot of words.
Absolutely.
In fact, they say that every year they have to rule out all the nominations that they've used before for words they've used before. So I'll bet dialogue has been in there.
Yeah. Well, and it would be really interesting to see because people think that things are new even when they're not new. And we were talking about so a few minutes ago, and it does feel like it's more common, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, but the thing with dialogue is it implies two people. And if you say join the dialogue and you're inviting many people to join in, that would not be quite precise.
Well, good, then I don't have to ever use that.
Yeah. I don't think you would use that, would you?
I would not.
But what's the next one on your list?
Well, problematic is the next one that I have.
Yeah, I hear a lot about that one, too. Now, it may be overused, but it's not ungrammatical. People complain that it's not really a word, but it is a word. It means it's an adjective meaning presenting a problem or difficulty, and it's been used that way since the early 1600s. So to use it as saying this is problematic, nothing wrong with it. It may be that you hear it a lot and that annoys you, but that doesn't make it wrong. It makes it overused or maybe trite, but not ungrammatical. No reason to ban that.
All
I
right.
See.
And if you don't like it, you can say, this is a problem.
Yes. Yes.
We already have one nomination for banned words. Kay from Waterloo says she'd like to see the words icon and iconic banned from newscaster reads.
I have to agree with that one, because sometimes the iconic thing is like Kim Kardashian's behind. Now, do
maybe
we really
could just ban Kim Kardashian's behind.
An icon for whom? When I think of icon, I think of a little religious statuette or some sort of decoration in a Russian Orthodox church, maybe. That kind of icon, something that really is iconic, is pretty special. It's not something, you know, a little bit trite and ordinary that we just see a lot of.
Right.
That doesn't make it iconic. So newscasters, yeah, I agree with that one.
Newscasters get picked on a lot in these banned words lists, because I think that there's so much pressure when you're writing the news to come up with shorthand or ways to convey meaning quickly.
Sure. Sure.
But we say some pretty silly things. So
one of these words is used in sportscasting.
Mm.
It's jock talk, and the word is physicality. Now, I've had mail about this one, because even people who are sports fans aren't sure what it means. Like, an announcer will talk about the physicality of a team or an athlete. Now, I think the reason people are confused is because in the vocabulary of sports, physicality seems to have two meanings. Now, sometimes it simply means fitness or strength or good physical condition. Like, they might say, oh, this pitcher has great physicality, because he's, you know, been working on his pitch or something. Great physicality, top condition. But sometimes it means physical violence. Now, especially in basketball and in hockey, announcers will talk about physicality when they mean somebody's beating somebody up. They mean violence or aggression on the court or on the rink. For example, physicality could refer to aggressive elbowing, bumping, shoving, yelling, punching, generally menacing behavior, and the willingness to bloody a few noses. And it seems to me that that any word that could have two such radically different meanings shouldn't be used in sports broadcasting.
Right, it's not very precise.
Writing. Yeah, because how do you know what's meant? Like, this is a team with great physicality. Does it mean they're all in terrific shape? Or does it mean that they're brutes?
Interesting.
You know. Well,
we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here today. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language, and she blogs at grammarphobia.com. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, is here with us today. She is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. This hour, we're talking about words that we'd like to see banned from the English language. We've been talking about Lake Superior State University's 41st annual list of banished words. And you, of course, are welcome to share your words and phrases also. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Pat, we've only covered a few words on this list, but we have a lot of people who want to share their words and phrases as well. So we'll take some calls and work in some of these words as the hour goes on as well. Let's go first to Jim in West Des Moines. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, what's your phrase or word?
Well, especially this last season in football, I watch a lot of football, and I'm used to trying to ignore grammar mistakes of sportscasters, but one word seems to be coming up a lot lately that really drives me crazy when they're describing a play, and it's trickeration. They'll say something like, Iowa has just used a lot of trickery in a play, and I can't stand it.
I've never heard, of course, I don't watch a lot of football, but do they mean just trickery or playing tricks? or fan?
Yeah, a play that's trying to deceive, which many of their plays do. Mm-hmm. But they've gotten, it's not just one or two sportscasters. This has entered the lexicon, and it's really, it's a bad word. I want it to go away.
Well, I don't know if it'll go away or not. I think if enough fans object or find it obnoxious and let people know, it might go away, but...
Well, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, and I have some sympathy for sportscasters because they have so much time to fill.
Yes.
And sometimes they do say the most bizarre and ridiculous things because they're talking forever.
You can't bring up a lot of extraneous subjects, you know, like if you're conversing with someone for two and a half hours, you can bring up all kinds of different subjects, but they have to stick to the game. And I can see that after a while your vocabulary kind of runs out and you come up with a word like physicality.
And trickeration.
How these things get in there.
And then it must spread like wildfire.
Oh, yeah, because one broadcaster might start using something and another one will think, great idea, I'm gonna steal that. And it spreads. Kind of like join the conversation.
I'm still not giving it up.
Okay. Don't feel. I don't mean to give
fine.
You a problem about it.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, lady.
Yeah, I hope you hear less of trickeration in the coming year. I hope we all do. All right. Jim is on the line in Spencer. Hi, Jim.
Yes, hello. And I'm sure others would say the same thing, and that is that we have absolutely, totally overused awesome to the point where it is no longer applicable in any conversation. I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't have any more force. I suppose
right.
There was a time when it meant something like amazing, but it no longer awes or amazes. So
getting my coffee order right is not awesome.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
I've noticed that, though. You order a coffee, awesome.
Uh-huh,
why is it awesome that I wanted this particular coffee? You know, like you never got an order like this before.
Now, this is one of those words, though, that through use, the definition has changed, hasn't
right.
it?
I think it has. Well, it started out as an intensifier, and it's gotten less intense. So people will look for other things. The same thing has happened with no problem. I notice lately people are saying no worries because no problem has gotten old. It sort of doesn't, it's not on the radar anymore. On the radar is another one. But these things get used to them and they don't sound tricky anymore.
Right.
They've lost their trickeration.
And their impact.
Right.
Which impact is another one that people hate as well. Jim, did you have another one?
I did have one that's always bothered me, which is how come. It's very awkward and it doesn't really grammatically work because I believe it used to be how comes it. And people have, you know, but, you know, you could simply say why or why is it.
Yeah, you could. I don't see or hear how come that much anymore. I think of it as an older. I'm looking it up right now. It's been around since the 1840s at least, and it's an American phrase, and it's supposed to be short for how did it come about or how does it come about that. In other words, why are you here? How does it happen that you're here? How did it come about that you're here? How come you're here? It's short for a lot of longer phrases, but I think we're hearing less of it, aren't we? I don't hear it that much.
I don't hear it that much either. But
yeah.
But, of course, if it's one of those things that bothers you hear it a lot more than the rest of us.
Yeah, it's a shortening of a longer phrase. But there's another one in the list, in our list of banned words that's, I think it's interesting because it's a shortening and it illustrates a grammatical pattern or a word-forming pattern in English. And that's the use of the word presser to mean press conference. And that's one of the terms on the list is presser, short for press conference. And this is interesting because here you have a noun phrase. It's shortened to press. and the suffix ER is attached to make a slang word. And we've actually talked about this before on the show. Remember when we talked about soccer and rugger?
Right.
These were formed in the same way. From their shorter forms of a longer term, they shorten it down to the stem and add ER. And as in soccer was short for association football, they took the SOC from association and added ER and made soccer. Now, this practice was actually begun in England in the mid-19th century. It became a common way of forming slang nouns. Another example is bedsitter for bed sitting room. And there's another form of it with ERS added, in which a word is shortened and ERS is added, like as in preggers for pregnant. Oh, is she preggers? Or my dog is preggers. This is used more often in Britain than in the United States, but I thought presser was an interesting example of that.
Yeah.
And that's another one that Lake Superior would like to ban.
Well, and at the same time, what I thought was really interesting on the list is that we have some words that we use the shortcut for, you know, like presser,
right.
But they also want to ban the phrase price point, which
yes.
is us trying to a sound more term. Important and saying more words to say
yes.
the same thing.
Yes, price point. And there's another point to be made about price point. It's not only just an inflated term for price, but it's kind of camouflage. It's sort of business speak. As a consumer, I find it a little bit annoying because it seems to be a merchant's way of saying the cost to you has nothing to do with me. It's simply the price point, as if this is some divinely ordained number beyond human control that somebody didn't actually write,
right.
You know, $12.98 on this bottle of shampoo.
I have no control over that.
It has nothing to do with me. It's the price point. So it's just bureaucraties. And another bureaucraties term that's on the list this year that I heard were used in Dennis Reese's news broadcast was when the Iowa school superintendent used the word stakeholder.
Oh, yes.
Now, we're going to be talking with our stakeholders about this. This really annoys me because it's being overused in business and in administrative bureaucracy to describe customers, suppliers, the communities that a company or a district might serve. It just means their support base or anybody who has anything to do, any contact whatsoever with this company. Now, when I buy this bottle of $12.95 shampoo, I don't feel that I have become a stakeholder in Johnson & Johnson. I don't feel that way. I'm a customer. I mean, I'm the buyer. They're the seller. There's a distinct division there. We aren't in the same family. I'm not a stakeholder. This is yet another case in which the corporate world is using a different English from the rest of us, the corporate and the bureaucracies world.
We're talking.
I don't like that word.
We're talking about words and phrases we'd like to see banned from the English language this hour. You're welcome to share yours at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I'll read a couple quick emails here. This is from Jennifer in Deweyville. I think it's time to let go of perfect storm. I think it's run its course. And now pretty much it sounds like nails on a chalkboard or just annoying.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this one earlier, and we've got two on the same, well, a similar word. This one's from Mary in Des Moines. Impactful. It's not in my dictionary, but I see it everywhere. I think writers and speakers mean effective.
Yes.
She also said going forward. Again, it's used a lot.
Yes.
Writer or speakers can use proceed or advance as appropriate.
Right. What's the alternative? Going backward?
Right.
Let's go backward. Does anyone say that?
Rarely, at least maybe as an insult,
yeah.
You're moving backwards. And this one's from Tom in Shoeyville. Impact, when used as a word, impactful anytime. It's mm-hmm. not a word at all. And
yeah.
then number three, this is interesting. Optics, used as a substitute for appearance.
Oh, that's a new one. That must be a marketing term.
Yeah.
What are the optics of this ad campaign?
And then he also says, number four, calculus used anywhere other than a mathematical context.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And another one that's related is algorithm.
Yes.
These are pseudoscientific words.
They make us sound very smart.
They throw them in to make themselves sound more intelligent.
Very
funny.
It doesn't
fool anyone.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Veronica's on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What would you like to talk about today?
This isn't so much a band word, but it's something I'm annoyed with, and it's brought and bring versus take and took. And I hear things all the time, like last season at Iowa basketball, the announcer would say, if the Hawkeyes score 80 points, bring your ticket to Hershey's locker room for a discount. Well,
yeah.
Shouldn't that be take your ticket?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is more complicated than you think. It's not just a matter of which way the ticket is moving. It has to do with the perspective of the speaker. Now, if the speaker is speaking from the point where the ticket should be brought, then he should say, bring your ticket. But if he's not there, he should say, take your ticket. So it's the perspective of the speaker.
And this is one of the things that makes learning English for non-native speakers so difficult.
Yeah.
And for native speakers, too.
Yes, yes, yes. Whereas everyone in New York simply says, bring.
Interesting. So is that something that, you know, with so many things that we use commonly in our language over time, the language changes? Is this something that's changing, or are we all wrong?
Well, I don't think that's changing. I think that there are specific points of view that require a particular word. I just think that in regional New York English, a lot of people say, I'm going to bring my family to Puerto Rico next year for a vacation. You know, they'll say something like that. There's no way it could be bring.
Right.
You're not in Puerto Rico at the time you're speaking. You're going to take your family there.
We all need to work on that one.
I know.
All right, Veronica, thanks a lot for your call. Next, let's go to Roger in West Des Moines. Hi, Roger.
Hi. I have a grammatical pet peeve. It's when people start a sentence by saying, me and my friend went to the store.
Yeah.
Instead of my friend and I. And it just grinds me. And I've even heard some of the media put their personal pronoun first rather than after the other people.
Well, there are two issues here, Roger. I don't want to smack your wrist or anything, but you're right in one sense. You should use a subject pronoun if it's the subject of the sentence. Like Roger and I are going to the movies. It should be I if it's the subject. But it need not necessarily be in that order. The order of the compound subject, it could be I and Roger. It's only a convention of politeness that we put ourselves second. For instance, if you were using someone else's name, he and Roger are going to the movies. You don't have to say Roger and he. The order, there's no order rule, actually. That's a myth. There's no order, correctness or incorrectness. It may be more polite.
I wondered whether that's come about because of the more selfishness of individuals, that we're thinking more about me and my rather than the other person.
I don't know. I think most people do put themselves in the second position because I'm always getting email when I say, write to me or my husband. They say, you should say, write to my husband or me. And that's really not a grammatical rule. It may be stylistic or a convention of politeness. What people seem to consistently get wrong is which pronoun case to use for subject versus which for object. they'll say, come to the movies with Roger and I. It should be Roger and me, or me and Roger. The order makes no difference, but the choice of pronoun does.
It's interesting because I think most of us were taught in elementary school that the order does make a difference.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
All right.
Right.
Roger, thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to a break here in a moment. This is from David in Des Moines. I would like to stop the overuse of the word surreal. And then he says, and then grammatically, more importantly, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. If it's an adverb, yes, you could use more importantly. Yes.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're talking about words or phrases we'd like to see banned in 2016. With me today, our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books on the English language. And she also blogs at grammarphobia.com. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour we're talking about words or phrases that we would like to hear less of in the year 2016. We started with Lake Superior State University's 41st annual list of banished words. And with me this hour, our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. And maybe we should, we've got a lot of people who want to join the conversation, but... We should maybe talk about a couple of the other words on this list before we get back to the phones. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do.
All right. I thought secret sauce was a very funny one.
Yeah. This is another corporate term. It just means the company's secret, its special method of approaching some problem or whatever. Like, this is our secret sauce. And, of course, it's borrowed from McDonald's, whose Big Mac features special sauce and supposedly... secret.
Well, and I think it has moved out of corporate speak too. I think it's something.
You think so?
I do. Okay. I guess I've heard people. It just makes you sound, or it's maybe supposed to make you sound smart and in the know.
Yeah.
And like you've decoded somebody else's formula. Like,
right.
Look what they're trying to pull. They're using their secret sauce and.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, and it's also a way of diminishing the person's secret sauce. By saying, see, it's not so
right.
Not so special after all. It's just like a secret sauce. It's not a big deal.
I thought also breaking the internet. That is one you see and hear used a lot. I think I know that Lake Superior tried to ban viral not that long ago. And break the internet is like viral now.
Right. Do you remember where you were when you first heard this term?
No.
Or read it? Well, I do. It was late 2014. I was on the web researching something or other when I got kicked into one of those. Oh, you know, especially if you look at the Guardian website in Britain for a news item, they have a lot of trivial stuff on the side.
Yes. Clickbait.
It's clickbait. It, not only that, but if your cursor goes over that direction accidentally, you get launched into, how did I get here? And anyway, I remember being launched into a page cover of the paper magazine. Paper is its name. I don't know if it still exists, but a New York magazine. The cover photo was a naked photo of Kim Kardashian. Again, there she is again.
Right.
Showing off her enormous bum, which had been all rubbed with, I think, coconut oil or something. It's very shiny. Anyway, the line under the picture said, break the internet. And it did.
Right.
It pretty much flooded the cyberspace with this image. And that's what I associated with.
So you really hate this word.
I know. So annoying.
Well, the other one that I hear a lot these days is win the internet. Like so-and-so won the internet for the day because they said something so funny.
I can see that. Sort of like winning the lottery.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, breaking the internet, I guess it means, well, a lot of things have broken the internet lately, like, Charlie Sheen's admission that he had HIV. That, I think, broke the internet. The Caitlyn Jenner story, when Bruce Jenner became a lady.
I think the objection to the phrase is now that it's being used in a hyperbolic way for everything that is somewhat popular.
Right,
although
everything that gets a lot of clicks.
Right. It's not necessarily actually breaking the internet or slowing down traffic.
Not all of them are Kim Kardashian's
All right.
They can only approach that.
Right. Let's get back to the phones. Janet is on the line in Summers. Hi, Janet.
Good morning. I have a question about the origin of the term kids, like baby goats. Only people, well, I've heard it on the radio. I've even heard you say it. I've read it in the paper. But
I call my kids
children.
Kids. Yes.
Yeah, right. It began as a noun for the young of a goat. I'm looking in the OED right now. This is in around 1200, a long, long time ago. And then later it became used for antelopes. It became used for a lot of other things, including a child. It was slang for a child as long ago as the 1600s, especially a young child. And it was considered low slang when it first came along, and it was there are several instances of it being recorded in the 1600s and the 1700s, but by the 19th century it was considered ordinary standard English because it had become so popular.
And it drives you crazy, Janet. I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I have goats, and I talk about my kids. Mm-hmm. And the little kids are so cute, but I know people who refer to human children as kids. Why don't we call them lambs or puppies?
Well,
I've been known to refer to my human puppies from time to time, I have to say, but that's just at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you say it's been about two centuries since this has been common and not considered to be low slang.
Yeah, for two centuries it's been considered ordinary usage, but for four centuries, it's been part of the language.
All right.
As just, a child, a human child.
Right. Janet, thank you so much for your call, and I'll probably continue to drive you crazy with that one. Victoria is on the line next in Urbandale. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
I have just an irritating response to the misuse and the overuse of the word hero.
Oh yeah,
I hear that used with a basketball player. A basketball player is not a hero. Your grocery store being able to get you mustard is not a hero. The military who are giving their lives to save others. The people who went into 9/11. These people are heroes, and I see this as setting our children up. Let us look at this football player and see him as a hero. And then about six months later, we find out that this person has been a rapist or has done something or whatever. But I think that we've lost the true meaning, the altruism of the person.
Yeah, hero used to be, I think of Achilles or Alexander the Great. I mean, people who did really big things. They might not necessarily have been good, but originally heroism had to do with courage, with putting yourself in danger because for a greater good. And whether you're, fighting overseas in the armed forces, or you're a fireman or a police officer, these people do heroic things. Or if you do something to save someone's life, you jump into a raging river or something like that, you're a hero. But it annoyed me once I typically sports people are called heroes. That annoys me a lot. Probably nothing we can do about it. They'll keep calling them heroes. But when the last big spelling bee was held, the winner was called a hero. Really, there was no, his life was not at stake.
Right. A winner was.
A winner, yeah.
And a great
winner
speller.
Is not always a hero.
Right.
He could be a great speller without being a hero.
Interesting. Oh, Victoria, so thank you. Let me read a couple quick emails here. We'll get back to the phones. Bill in Iowa City says that my skin crawls when people use gifted rather than gave.
Mm-hmm.
Brian in Des Moines, again, on awesome. If everything is awesome, then nothing is awesome.
Yeah.
Paula says a phrase that seems to be used a lot during the past year or so that drives me crazy is, I know, right? My 10-year-old loves that one. I hear that one a lot. This one is from Art in Dubuque. Absolutely, when used to mean simply yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's see if I can pull out. Oh, well, Cliff says on Words to Ban, the number one. And this is used mostly for radio talk shows, but doesn't include you. So apparently lists are not something Cliff enjoys. And now Vic is on the line in Denver. And Vic, you want to give us a new word for 2016 instead of taking one away?
Well, Happy New Year, Charity. I thought we can have some fun and add a word. And
all right.
Add the word squoze for a past tense of squeeze.
As in oh, I like that.
The oranges.
Squoze. Actually, that has been used. Nat King Cole used that in a song. What? Can't remember what the song was. Squeeze and squoze. He used squoze as a past tense of squeeze. And
sure.
I wish I could think of the rest of the song. Anyway, I think that's a great one. And you know, you're not alone in wanting to propose new words, because a competing university in Michigan, Wayne State, has its own yearly contest for words that should be brought back, old words or underused words that are actually part of the language but aren't used enough, like rapscallion, a mischievous person, melange, a mixture of things, knavery,
sure.
Flapdoodle, caterwaul, words like that. And I could add a few that I'd like to see.
Right. Well, maybe next time you come on the show, maybe we'll do that one.
Talk about those. Yeah.
All right. So squoze.
That'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful.
All right. And then it'll just get banned in 2017.
Yeah. we could try to replace obnoxious words with different ones.
Right. Right.
All right. The contest could be done.
That sounds perfect. Let's go to Chris in West Des Moines. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Thanks for registering my complaint. I would really like to see the word metrics banned.
That's another one. It's in the same class as using calculus.
And algorithm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. I work in a local office for a company headquartered out of state, and we often do online conference calls to discuss profit and loss and things of that nature, and I'm always hearing about the metrics used to come to these calculations and other metrics involved and so forth, and it induces eye rolling.
But you can eye roll freely because they can't see you on a conference call, right?
Exactly.
You can stick out your tongue, make faces.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Businesses are full of this stuff.
Yes. And
no scientific words.
Well, and it makes us feel and sound important.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the list and get through. We've got just four more words or phrases on that list that we have left. And one that I hear and see all the time is manspreading.
Yes. Now, I have no problem with this one. I don't know if you do. I mean, it's a fact.
I'm a little tired of it, but.
Well, okay, you're tired of it. But the truth is, men do take up more than their share of space on the couch or on seats of buses or subways if you live in a big city. it's a fact of life, and I'm happy that it has a name, even if it's getting overused. Now, that's just my opinion, and I'm a little biased here. But boy, when you try to squeeze into a seat on a bus or subway next to a guy who's sitting there with his legs spread really wide and, like, reading a big newspaper in between his legs, and, I mean, really, it makes life difficult for the rest of us. Women, as a result, have to sit there with their legs crossed.
Right.
So as to take up less space. Maybe the men should try sitting with their legs crossed.
All right. So you like that one. How about vape? I thought it was interesting that they want to ban the word vape, which is used for smoking e-cigarettes. And
right.
I guess
would that be? I mean, you have
maybe
to have
they want to ban e-cigarettes.
Well, that may be. Maybe they just don't like e-cigarettes. But, you know, I guess if you're having people inhaling the vapor from an e-cigarette, you have to have a verb for it. So why not vape? It's probably here to stay, at least as long as the e-cigarettes are around. I don't know if that's going to be a thing that will last or not.
Right. We'll know someday.
Yeah.
All right. So another one, they don't like walk it back.
Yeah. Now that's a funny one. That you hear that a lot in politics, and it's a euphemism for people who don't want to say, whoops, I said something stupid, I'm going to retract it, or I'm going to try to make it sound better with this explanation. They say, I'm going to walk it back. Now, it's sort of the opposite of double down, which is to stick by an earlier statement that might be controversial.
Right.
Now, a columnist on Slate wrote a few years ago that when politicians or other public figures get in hot water over something they said, they have a choice. They can either walk it back or they can double down. So walking it back means retracting and saying, in a sense, really, oops, I made a mistake there. This is what I really meant. But to double down means to get stubborn about it and say it over and over again.
Now, the last one on the list is a phrase that I didn't even know we were using. And I understand why people want to ban it, but I honestly haven't heard anybody say it.
I haven't heard it either.
Okay, so I mean, we're not that hip, I guess,
yeah,
Pat, but
I
that's not news, is it?
Give me life.
Right.
Which means, or gives me life. That means something that gives you life, excites you, makes you laugh, pumps you up, but seems to me a little bit overwrought.
Right. So this very funny meme on the internet is giving me life, or this list
that
of banished words is
life.
Giving me
it
life.
You like it, you know, or you say that TV show gives me life. that Talk of Iowa, that gives me life. You know, it means I like it.
Right. So I can understand wanting to ban it, but I haven't heard it used. So
I haven't heard it used. It's in some rap song lyrics.
All right. Maybe we'll hear more of that in the coming year.
I think we have to worry about banning these things. Most of them will go away on their own.
And it's awfully interesting to see what does become common over the years.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when something has staying power, there's nothing you can do about it. If it's useful, it'll stay around.
Right.
If it's just a show-off word, it'll probably go away.
We can only hope. Pat, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Patricia O'Connor is our English language expert. She is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. She blogs at grammarphobia.com. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Happy New Year.